Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. And we have, we're going to celebrate, folks. We're going to do a little bit of celebration. We've got our good friend Bill Brandt here. And we're going to celebrate. And you're going to be a little surprised to hear me say this, I think. But we're going to celebrate the life of Ted Kennedy. And we're going to talk a little bit about it. Bill Brandt is, as you know, is one of our good friends and longtime member of our Brain Trust. Well, he's not only an FOJ, friend of Jim, he's an FOT, friend of Ted. And Bill is the president and the chief executive officer of Development Specialists Incorporated and a friend of the late Ted Kennedy's. And I've asked Bill to join us to talk to us about these things. Bill Brandt, welcome back to the show, and our condolences for the loss of your friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And on behalf of your listeners, I'm happy to be here to share some reminiscing with
you. It's good to have you here. You know, Bill, I had to think about what Mark Anthony is supposed to have said at the funeral of Julius Caesar. The evil that men do live after them, the good is often tarred in their bones, with their bones, I should say. Over the last few days, Bill, since his passing, the good that Ted Kennedy did seems to be holding up pretty well.
You know, you were at that funeral, the Mark Anthony funeral.
I was, yes.
Yeah. I would say the inverse is true here, and this was a man, larger than life persona. I'd known him for just about ever since I started working in politics back in the early 70s, and of course by then he was already a U.S. senator.
Mm-hmm.
But it was never a case, Jim, where, you know, he was already the U.S. senator, and who are you? You were his best friend. He was open and gregarious and wonderful with everybody, and I wound up doing a lot of events for him in the Chicago area when he came through, working on legislation with him on the Hill, and he was at once every man and otherwise, you know, part of a legacy of an American political family that you could only stand in awe of. But he was beset by demons, as we all are. And his life was to overcome those and have some impact on the world. And after 10 presidents, people stop and have to catch their breath. 10 presidents, 5 Republican and 5 Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
He did that. And I think, speaking of your Mark Anthony quote, the good he does, you know, on balance, everybody nodded their heads and realized, on balance, you know, a tough life, well led. But his legacy will be what lives on forever, how he overcame all of this and what he accomplished.
Right. Well, talk about some of the good memories, some of the direct interactions you had with Ted Kennedy.
Well, you know, Ted had several ideas about what he wanted to accomplish in life. Healthcare was one. People forget about bankruptcy reform. He was, and it's currently, of course, in the topic again, he was one of those who strove for years to make sure that the bankruptcy provisions would indeed give people the second chance they wanted. And that's sort of where he always was.
And you know, a lot of people don't realize how unique that is to the United States.
Yes, I mean,
in Europe, if you take bankruptcy, you and your family are branded for life.
You are.
There's virtually no redemption.
And redemption, I think, signifies everything you ever want to know about Teddy Kennedy. And in fact, everything that would go for redemption, whether it's civil rights or health care or bankruptcy, give people a second chance. Let them get to their feet, dust off, and go on. He was a living example
and
of that.
And he was a man who benefited from redemption as well, and I'm sure that wasn't lost on him.
No, not only was it not lost on him, but I think he found his own way to redemption through providing means for redemptive processes for others. And 10 presidents. I mean, you people forget, unless they were there, that he actually became a U.S. senator while his brother was the president. So he started with John F. Kennedy as his president, moved along to everybody else, you know, you can think of along the years, right through this very last one, Obama, and was instrumental in virtually all of their presidencies in the last.
Clearly, highly instrumental in the election of Obama. Yes. At the expense of people who thought, I guess, at one point in time, that he was their friend, the Clintons.
Well, that's a painful episode.
I know, because you know, you're more of an FOB than you are an FOT, maybe.
Well, yeah.
I
had been through the struggle with both of them, and politics is like that. And at the time, I remember not being enthused, but you always forgave Teddy his sins because there was never any malice in his heart when he did it. He did it because of conviction. And
there's
that.
Folks, we're celebrating here, but I'm going to turn the sharp point of my quill on his legacy in just a little bit on behalf of small business. Don't worry, folks. 20 till I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. It's great. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it to your advantage. We built it just for you. You got 5 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes. We got something you can read or listen to. You can ask questions. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. You can check out my blog. Lots and lots of stuff to do if you want to go hang out there, and it's all free thanks to our corporate partners, which we hope you'll thank by at least giving them a shot at your business. You can also follow me on Twitter at Jim Blassingame. Bill Brandt is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, B-R-A-N-D-T. If you're Googling him, you'll find him lots of places. He's a smart guy and works around the world helping companies deal with some of the issues that they have. His company is called Development Specialists Incorporated, and he's a friend of Ted Kennedy, the late Ted Kennedy, and we're asking him to join us. We've asked him to join us to talk a little bit about the legacy that he leaves. What do you think about his legacy? I mean, I heard a lot of people talking about how he crossed the aisles. Bill, he was a compromiser, but he wasn't always a compromiser, was he?
No, and the one, his greatest regret was the compromise he didn't make. He more often than not, was a compromiser. I'm still coming to terms, by the way, when you say the late Ted Kennedy.
Yeah.
For me, it's hard to believe this presence is gone after so long in my life. But he was not always a compromiser, and I think he would tell you, I had a couple of beers with him a long time ago, not so much lately, because I think Vicky had been a marvelous influence on his life, but in our younger days, he would openly tell anybody that the one compromise he didn't make was probably the one he regretted most, and that was when he and Nixon were close in the early 70s, late 60s to a health care deal. And Nixon offered Kennedy basically some version of universal health care that Ted didn't think went far enough.
Mm-hmm.
Ted thought he could turn it down, outlive the Nixon presidency, and then bring it back with what he wanted. And at the time he was discussing it, it was about 20 years after that, and of course now it's many, many years after that, and that was always Ted's biggest regret. So he didn't always compromise.
He also voted against the welfare reform of the 90s, which has proven to be an incredible success for America.
Well, you know, I look at two votes in the 90s that he did. Actually, one in the 90s and one just after that. He did not think that welfare reform was going to work, and he didn't think it went far enough. I disagreed with him on that. I was with Clinton on that. I think the acid test of whether that vote will work, we will see now in the next year or so, because this is a tough economy for the folks who came off those rolls. The second one I remember him compromising on, which I think he was also not, you know, well thought of in some quarters, was the No Child Left Behind Act, where his own party was beginning to desert him over the deal he cut with Bush. As it turns out, while there are good things in that bill, Teddy's reservations at the end were reasonable because it never got funded and it relied too much on testing.
You know, Bill, as I've told you before, and had he been on the show, I would have come clean with him. I would have, had we been successful in getting him on the show, I would have said, Senator, I have to be honest with you. I have called you the arch enemy of small business, and here's why. And I would tick off the areas of policy that he was in favor of that, in my opinion, are detrimental to small business. And I would love to have been to have debated him on those things. And I stand by those things now. Even in my blog this last week, I wrote about him and I talked about his spirit. I talked about his passion for what he did. And for his desire to serve the public, whether I agreed with him or not. We'll miss that about Ted Kennedy, but I have to be honest with you, and I said this in my blog, and I don't think the senator would want me to be hypocritical now. I will miss his spirit. America will miss his spirit, but I won't miss his work, because I felt like most of the time it was not in the best interest of small business, Bill.
I think you've said this to me, and we've had this dialogue for a long time. I don't know that I would debate your viewpoint. I would only point out that the interests of small business people run beyond just their own business. The bankruptcy issue we talked about earlier. I mean,
that's the first public policy issue I took up when I started doing the show in '97.
You know, one of the things for small business is that everybody in America wants to be their own boss, and rightly so. That's the nature of this country. And everybody sooner or later, it seems everybody sooner or later, mostly tries to do it. And many fail, at least initially. They don't fail because they're not intellectually up to it or it's the wrong product. They fail because they're undercapitalized. Everybody tries to do this.
That's exactly right.
And Ted Kennedy understood that when you fail, I mean, of all things, whether it's in economics or in life, personally or politically, you get up, you dust yourself off, and you go on. And he wanted a bankruptcy code that reflected that. Now, you know, when you talk about he wasn't a friend of small business, I would argue that you could certainly look at some things you thought were ineffective for small business or added costs. I would also tell you that Ted Kennedy, in many ways, was the best friend of small business, because rather than have these people stuck with an onerous sort of, some kind of reputation after a difficult time, he wanted everybody to go out and try until they
succeeded. But see, you're talking about bankruptcy, and I don't have a problem. Bankruptcy is not on my list of topics, Bill.
Well, my
list of topics includes minimum wage, the card check bill, universal health care, the Family Medical Leave Act. He worked tirelessly. His beautiful spirit worked so hard to get the Family Medical Leave Act down to below 50 employees, which would be detrimental to small businesses.
In some cases it's detrimental, but you know what? I see a lot of small businesses, Jim, and I've got to tell you, at some point, when some of your key employees are having a tough time in life because of illness or sickness of family members, it may be a burden that is tough to carry sometimes, but it's a burden worth carrying.
Here's what I see, though,
and everybody shares it.
Here's what I see when I'm in the out here. You know, unlike Ted Kennedy, I think I'm out here with Irv Meets the Road, and with small business, and I see small business owners doing what the law would require without the law requiring it. I think that's the big. Anyway, we're still celebrating. I'm just not being hypocritical. We're gonna talk a little bit more about Ted Kennedy. I want to ask Bill Brandt, who is the next liberal lion of the Senate? Is there one in the wings? Ten till, stay with us. Here's Barbara Lewis to bring us back, ladies and gentlemen.
Chuba, chuba, my baby. Chuba, chuba.
Hello, stranger.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Bill Brandt. DSI.biz, right, Bill?
That is it.
Development Specialist Incorporated, DSI.biz is his organization. Bill, you work with companies all over the country, all around the world, to help them. Especially if they got challenges, you help them work out of them, don't you?
We do. That's what, this is sort of our busy era. But we are there to help business enterprises find a different way and see if they can survive in a tough environment.
Your company always does good, but it is countercyclical to the economy, isn't it?
It is countercyclical. Although we get, part of our business gets a lot of the what I would call the bad personas, the Bernie Madoffs, the Bernie Ebers, the Mark Dreyers, and so there's when the good times happen, there's more to steal, so we stay busy.
Hey, Bill, folks, we're talking about Ted Kennedy. Bill Brandt was a personal friend of Ted Kennedy's, and I've asked him to join us. There's a wonderful there are many great stories about Ted Kennedy that I want, and that there's one that's my favorite. I heard this weekend about the cigars. Tell the audience about the cigars.
You know, Ted, the audience is of course used to having him as the liberal lion of the Senate, but they forget that over the last 20 or 30 years, there were times when he was a woeful voice in the minority because the Republicans dominated the Senate. It was that way in the early 80s after the Reagan sort of revolution. And it's funny, Jim, that I think that Kennedy was often maybe more effective as a voice in the wilderness, if you will, leading the minority and trying to get what he could because he was such a great compromiser from the majority. In one such case, he was negotiating with the Republican chair, a crusty old fellow who shall remain nameless, of a very important committee. And it was actually the committee was having its conference between the House and the Senate. He was trying to get this last bit of legislation done well. And he carried into the conference an envelope full of this man's cigars.
His favorite cigars.
Hard to get. They were his favorite cigars, and this fellow pined for him. Was known to have these cigars in his mouth often. And I'll leave it at that, but many of you know who know politics now have an idea who it might be. And they started bargaining, and just as they started, Kennedy happened to open the top of the envelope and show what was in the envelope to the chairman, who was immediately intrigued. And as the negotiations went on, at every point where the chairman got a little more towards Kennedy's position, Ted would slide the envelope a little bit towards the chairman. And when the negotiations broke down or somebody became recalcitrant, Ted would pull them back, even when it wasn't the chairman, but one of his members becoming. And the chairman would give dagger stares at the guy going the other way because the envelope was going back towards Ted. Needless to say, at the end of this episode, a deal was cut that all could live with, and the chair happily lit up the fruits of his labor.
Wouldn't you love? I mean, I don't know. Perhaps you were in the room. I don't know, but that would have been a great thing to see. But
I was not in the room, but I was regaled with the story. And I can't tell you how many occasions. And the story, as you, Jim and I know, this will surprise you. The story got better over the years.
I bet it did. I'm sure that it did. Who is the next liberal lion? Is there even someone who has the gravitas to be the next liberal lion of the Senate?
The answer is yes.
For the Democrats?
The answer is yes.
Who is that?
Well, let me just back up for a second. You know, Kennedy's lionization didn't come just from his substantial accomplishments in the U.S. Senate, and they were legion. But they came from his membership in a family that basically altered the politics of America for the latter half of the 20th century, and a good bit of this century, if not all of it, to this point. So, you know, that standing and the legacy and the aura that surrounded him gave him a point of departure that most elected officials who don't come from a family
a platform,
like that.
Yeah. Right. So who is that? Who is this person? I'm running out of time here. But
Durbin,
come on, I need it.
I think Durbin is...
come on, Bill.
I'm not kidding you.
Durbin is, you know, he's a partisan. He's more partisan than Kennedy ever thought of being.
Well, I don't think so. But I will tell you that with Kennedy in place, who you knew could cut a deal, the others could play their role. Now I think there'll be a remixing of the roles. Dick does reach across the aisles, does have friends, is well steeped in the rules of the Senate, is happy there. He's
and
not
you're
going anywhere.
You're going to get him on the show, right? You're going to help
try,
him get on the show.
I like Dick a lot.
Let's do that before he dies.
Huh?
Let's do that before he dies. Quickly, who else? And then I got to ask
you. He's in his early 60s. He'll be fine.
All right, before we go, though, will the president sign a health care reform bill this year?
I'm going to probably outrage my friends in the Democratic Party, but I think that the sweeping Democratic legislation that the president was at least to hear some tell it, was for, will probably not likely get out of the Senate this year. I think...
From your mouth to God's ears.
Well, I think there'll be some incremental stuff that we wouldn't disagree on, like portability and pre-existing conditions.
But, that's different.
Well, you know, I've always thought that if you approach this on an incremental basis... Yeah. I love all the people who say, don't socialize my medicine.
Thank you.
Except they're dealing with Medicare.
Thank you, Bill. And rest in peace, Senator Kennedy. We'll miss your spirit for sure.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.